Good morning. This is Long Island Morning Edition on 88.3 WLIW-FM, heard across the East End on 96.9 FM in Western Suffolk. I'm Michael Mackey. It could take another 13 years for the Long Island Railroad to get back all the riders it lost during the COVID-19 pandemic, according to MTA officials, who said the slow rebound will cost the transit agency billions of dollars that will have to be made up. Alfonso A. Castillo reports on Newsday.com that the Metropolitan Transportation Authority, the LIRR's parent organization, released its revised ridership forecast yesterday as part of the latest update to its financial plan. The MTA in 2020 hired global consulting firm McKinsey & Company to prepare a study analyzing the pandemic's impact on ridership. That study predicted that about 80% of the MTA's pre-pandemic riders would be back by now, as vaccines would be widely available. But several unexpected factors, including COVID-19's Omicron variant, riders' concerns about crime in the transit system, and changes in work schedules, have resulted in only about 60% of riders returning so far. The revised projections put together by McKinsey now predict that it could take until 2026 for the MTA to recover 80% of its pre-pandemic ridership. MTA officials said they do not expect to be back to 100% until around 2035. The projections are averaged across all the MTA's various transit agencies, and officials said they expect it will take longer for the Long Island Railroad's ridership to recover than subways and buses. The LIRR carried 91 million people in 2019, the most in 70 years. Suffolk is accepting grant applications from drug treatment providers, community groups, and county agencies for programs designed to combat the opioid epidemic that has claimed thousands of lives on Long Island since the late 1990s, County Executive Steve Ballone and other officials announced yesterday. Michael O'Keefe reports on Newsday.com that up to $25 million will be available this year, part of the $180 million Suffolk is expected to receive over the next 18 years from the settlement of the landmark lawsuit it filed against opioid manufacturers and distributors, said Ballone. Suffolk also released a report issued by the Opioid Settlement Task Force convened last year that details the devastation caused by the opioid epidemic, recommended that the money be used for prevention and harm reduction, treatment, and recovery. Officials will monitor the effectiveness of the programs they fund to determine how future money will be spent. The task force consulted with dozens of health agencies, treatment providers, and community groups. Long Island public health officials and addiction experts said that fatal overdoses, which had declined in the years before COVID-19, has spiked primarily due to the social isolation, grief, and anxiety caused by the pandemic. In light of the U.S. Supreme Court's recent ruling that overturned Roe v. Wade, ending the guarantee to legal abortion in all 50 states, and a sense that other rights could be next to fall, the House of Representatives took up votes recently on a bill codifying the right to same-sex marriage and other codifying access to contraception. Both bills passed in the democratically controlled House, with Democrats unanimously in favor. Brendan J. O'Reilly reports on 27East.com that Lee Zeldin, the U.S. representative for the East End and the Republican candidate for New York State governor, was among 47 Republicans who joined the majority in approving the Respect for Marriage Act, while he voted against the Right to Contraception Act, which garnered just 8 votes from Republicans. Critics of the Right to Contraception Act, which passed last Thursday, object to the access it might potentially provide to abortion. Of the 13 documented shark attacks on humans in New York over the past century, 5 have occurred this summer off Long Island's South Shore, state marine officials said yesterday. Bart Jones reports on Newsday.com that they insisted swimmers are not generally in danger of falling victim to a fatal shark attack, but always run the risk of being bitten, though attacks are rare. Quote, "We may see an increase in that going forward, but the sharks that are in the surf are not these large, scary things that you see on Shark Week sometimes that are really going to maybe cause a mortality," said Jim Gilmore, the State Department of Environmental Conservation Director of Marine Resources, "and we've never had a mortality in New York in our history." As sharks increasingly lurk closer to Long Island's oceanfront in unprecedented numbers, state officials said in a Monday Zoom call with news reporters, they also are likely swimming in the Great South Bay and other bodies of water connected to the Atlantic Ocean through inlets. But don't be alarmed, the experts said. Sharks have found their way into inland waters for centuries and are mostly juveniles that pose little threat to humans. There is scientific evidence that the sharks in New York are using our estuaries, said Chris Scott, a marine biologist with the DEC and described by the agency as the top shark expert in the state. Typically, it is the juvenile stages of the sharks, he said. They come in for protection. There is plenty of food in the bays, and they'll sit there and they'll stay there throughout the summer and migrate out in the fall. He added they've been there for hundreds of years, and there have been zero incidents in the bays on Long Island of shark attacks. New York State DEC officials say don't panic. More sharks off Long Island beaches, a good sign. Despite a great white shark washing up dead on the beach in Quag last week, generally, the so-called man-eaters actually pose little danger to humans, according to Chris Scott, a marine biologist with the DEC, and described by the agency as the top shark expert in the state. It's been confirmed through scientific studies that white sharks, juvenile white sharks particularly, use New York waters as nursery habitat, Scott said. And these animals feed primarily on small fish. They don't feed on mammals. They certainly don't want anything to do with humans. Five people bitten by sharks off Long Island beaches since late June might disagree. Those injured have received, at most, several stitches, but more than a bit of a scare. The marine expert said it's all part of a new reality on Long Island due to cleaner waters and a big jump in the bait fish that sharks and others, including dolphins, seals, whales, and striped bass, love to consume. The bait fish, Atlantic menhaden, or more commonly bunker, are sometimes visible in schools by the millions and 2 miles long, typically trailing close behind for a meal of sharks or other fish and ocean mammals. Adding yet another layer to attempts to ensure that the massive Amazon hub planned for the Hampton Business District does not increase traffic at Francis S. Gabreski Airport in West Hampton, Suffolk County Legislator Al Krupski is calling for additional oversight. His bill, co-sponsored by Legislator Bridget Fleming, would require a vote of the full legislature before anyone can seek to change operations at the West Hampton Airport. Kitty Merrill reports on 27East.com that a public hearing will be held in Hopog this morning on a charter law requiring the airport manager to seek legislative approval before making any request to the FAA for any operational certification amendments. Online retail giant Amazon recently built a mammoth structure in the Hampton Business District at Gabreski to serve as its last-mile hub for deliveries. The Brookhaven Town Local Development Corporation failed to properly monitor job creation at construction projects it helped to finance and neglected to collect about $7,000 in annual fees from an applicant, state auditors said in a report released earlier this month. Carl McGowan reports on Newsday.com that the office of New York State Comptroller Thomas D. DiNapoli said the nonprofit Brookhaven LDC, which awards tax-exempt bonds to schools, healthcare facilities, and other not-for-profit corporations, did not properly approve some applications and failed to establish specific job creation targets for about half a dozen projects, making it impossible for officials to determine whether employment goals were met. Among the projects were construction of new or expanded facilities at Mather Hospital in Port Jefferson, Long Island Community Hospital in East Patchogue, and the Jefferson Ferry Retirement Community in South Setauket, the July 15th report said. In a sharply worded written response, Brookhaven LDC leaders defended the agency and questioned the audit's conclusions. Quote, each bond financing is thoroughly and exhaustively negotiated, vetted, and approved by the LDC staff, bond counsel, and general counsel before it is sent to the LDC board for approval. Brookhaven LDC Chairman Frederick C. Braun III and Chief Executive Lisa M.G. Mulligan wrote in the letter, which is included in the 17-page audit report, to state that our projects are not properly approved is incorrect, they wrote. This has been Long Island Local News on Long Island's only NPR station, WLIW-FM. I'm Michael Mackey.